there's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks Lycia. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He hath shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Everybody that lives about us, say, tear that old lighthouse down. For the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Thank you. Let's stand together for 1 second. We'll read a couple verses. Did we get the handouts out tonight? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. Okay, are those out? I think there's a couple out on the patio. Let's make sure we have those. Ushers, if we have extras in here, make sure they have them on the patio. Okay, we're going to look at the church tonight. We're going to probably, we're not going to get through it tonight, so this will be part one. We'll get back to it later. The church, something that Christ dearly loves. We live in a time when the church is being devalued, okay? There's a guy that over the years has written a series of books on church growth, and people that have followed his methods. And a few years ago, he came out and said, you know, those don't work very well. Oh, what a shock there, huh? And then he says, you know, the church is maybe going away. Maybe it's going to be something different. Meeting in homes or doing this. Well, Jesus loves the church, and we ought to just run it the way that Jesus says we ought to run it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27, we'll look at. It says, husbands, love your wives. Well, thank you, Robert. Jane, that will make Jane happy. Even as Christ also loved the church. How are you doing on that, Robert? Okay, good. And gave himself for it. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. I pray you'd bless the folks that are here, those in discipleship and those in the service. Help us, Lord, as we start to look at your institution, Lord, the church. Father, your means for getting the gospel out and reaching this world. Bless our few minutes together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is a church? What is the New Testament church? I believe you have these blanks on your paper there. What a New Testament church is. There's a couple things here. It's a local, visible assembly. Okay? The key word there is local. People like to talk a lot about the invisible church made up of all believers. Well, why do people like the invisible church? Because you don't have to attend it. You don't have to give to it. You don't have to be faithful to it. Okay? But when the Bible in the New Testament is talking about a church, it's talking primarily about a local group of believers. This is a place where we as Christians gather with a specific body of believers at a specific location. That's what we are. We're a local church. We're a church of believers here in Long Beach that God has placed here, first and foremost, to reach our specific area and then to go out from there. But God has the church for the believers in this area. The church is a place where we go to grow. We go to learn. We go to worship the Lord, to sacrifice, to give of our time and to serve him. But we do that through our local church. And I believe everybody should be a member of a church. So a local New Testament church is a local visible assembly. I think the next little bullet there, it's comprised of saved membership. Okay? Saved. Baptized. We want you to be baptized. You know, well, can anybody join the church? No. No. If you're not saved, you can't be a part of our local body of believers. How can you be a member if you're not saved? Okay? And there has to be saved individuals. So it's local. We're saved. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing is, it's just more of a thing there. We're separate from the state. The local church is under the direct authority of Jesus Christ himself. Okay? Our country is a little bit confused about what separation of church and state is. Okay? That means the state is supposed to stay out of the affairs of the church. It doesn't mean that the government is supposed to wipe away the church and all reference it to it in government. Okay? That's not what our founding fathers had in mind. Right? When they came over, they were coming over from a state church, a state-run church, mandatory tithes. No, I'm not necessarily against that. That would be all right. But a lot of mandatory things there. You had to be a part of it. No, that's not what they're talking about. And through the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church and what they were doing, that's not what it was. That was not to keep the principles of God out of the government. And by the way, they've done a good job of doing that. And look where it's brought our country. It's not been good. So that's what a New Testament church is. But we must understand first and foremost that Jesus is the head of the church. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We'll read some verses here. Colossians chapter 1, we'll read verses 12 to 8. The reference is there. I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, if you're new, get yourself a Bible and get in the habit of bringing it to church and using it. Colossians chapter 1. Says giving, well, I'll start at verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the church, and everything we ought to do ought to be to make him preeminent, to bring him honor and glory, to fulfill his purpose and bring glory to his name. Why is that true? Because literally, he purchased the church with his own blood. He purchased the believers who are part of the church with his own blood. You see the verses there, and there's some verses you can, but for sake of time, I'll leave the references there. You can look at those. So the local church that uses Scripture as its only authority in faith and practice when it comes to church is the real deal. By the way, that you say, well, what's the big deal about that? That's not typically what's happening nowadays. Okay? Say, well, how should the church be run? What are some of the thrusts of the church? You know, sometimes it's like, well, you have this vision and all that. Where does that come from? That comes from God through his word. And that just ought to be a no-brainer. The church that uses Scripture is the real deal. Most churches today are run by what we would call pragmatism. What is pragmatism? Pragmatism is, if it works, let's do it. Now, what's the missing equation in that? Is it right? I don't care if it works. And by works, they would probably mean numbers. How many people you're getting in the doors at the church? We're not pragmatic. That's the philosophy of the ends justify the means. In other words, if we do this, we can get a bigger crowd. If we get a bigger crowd, then we can do what God wants us to do. But if it's not the way God wants us to do it, then it's not right. Because remember, whose church is it? It's his church. It's not ours. We're not supposed to just make up stuff on the fly. So we don't just do something because it works. It's a matter of, is it right? Now, if churches are not run by pragmatism, here's the biggest thing today. We're culture-driven. They ask themselves, these type of churches, what do the people like? Now, if they like it, let's give it to them. And I'm not talking about comfortable seats. I like comfortable seats better than hard seats. Can I get a witness? Okay? I'm not talking about not having air conditioning. I'm a kind of an air conditioning. I like air conditioning. Okay? Say, well, you know, back over here, that's you. We're here, we have air conditioning, we're going to run the thing, all right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that have to do with right or wrong. Things that God has spoken maybe directly about. And so, culture driven. I've studied this out. This verse I have read, I've studied some of these guys and the nonsense they go through. They milk a lot out of this one verse in Acts. It's not on your sheet, but I'll read it to you. When Paul was at Mars Hill talking to some unbelievers, here's what he said. He said in verse 28 of Acts 17, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring." I've read that verse and heard that verse many times referenced to justify using what's going on in our culture to reach people in the church. Now, I'm going to define that in a minute. Brother, just because he quoted a poet? Okay, you've heard us quoting here, you know, if you insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. Who said that? Einstein said that. Oh, so because I quote Einstein, that means God wants us to go out and use the culture to win the world to Christ. That's retarded. I'm sorry. That's ill-advised. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say nicer things. That doesn't make sense. You're pulling a lot of things out of that verse. The excuse that is given for using culture to reach people in the church, but then, of course, you talked about a few things in the culture of the China, is that when a missionary goes to the field, he learns the culture of the field he's going to so that he can minister to the people in that country. Therefore, in America, we should understand our culture and know our culture and use it to win people to Christ. Well, let's look at that for a minute. Now, I might be missing some things. But when a missionary is going to the field and it talks about culture, some of the culture they need to understand, here's what they need to understand. They need to understand the language. They don't speak English. By the way, neither do people in the United States. Man, sometimes the boys, we'll watch a basketball game or something, they'll interview some player, and I'm like, he can't even string together a coherent sentence. Sorry, that's quiet. Someone's getting on that one. It's like, seriously. What's funny is they'll ask the guy a question, and he'll give you some answer for something completely different because he didn't even understand what he was talking about. But most of us don't understand English. Okay, we must move on. But you got to learn that language. They speak a different language, and you got to be able to communicate. By the way, you need to understand their food. Okay, what do they eat? Why? You need to understand because that's what you're going to eat. Okay, I saw it out on your table, brother. Oh, the chicken legs or whatever that. What was the little thing next to chicken legs? Looked like sourdough. Quail eggs. Wow, that's a blessing. Okay, good. Give them back to the quail. You need to understand the religion that their culture embraces. Animism, spiritism, ancestral worship, Buddhism, whatever it is. The missionary needs to understand that because those are the people he's going to reach. They only tell the truth to their family. That's ridiculous. They lie. That's their cult. You better understand that. Okay, what's going on there? We have to understand their customs. How do they function? I forget what missionary it was many years ago, and I don't want to throw a name out there. I'll probably get the wrong one. Where he went into a country and they had a law there that when the husband died, he was burned, cremated. But if he died before his wife, the wife was burned alive with him. Was that? I thought that was India. Was that Kerry? Yeah, India. And this missionary was appalled at that, and through a lot of his efforts, he was able to actually get that changed. But that was part of their culture. There's customs. Remember, I was listening to a preacher one time. He was preaching in another country. I don't know if it was Haiti. And he said that after the service, some people brought up some children, and he patted one of the little girls in the head and said, "Hey, how you doing, sweetheart?" And he said, as soon as he said that, the parent gave him a dirty look, grabbed the girl, and left. He looked at the pastor, what was that all about? He goes, "Well, in our country, when you call somebody a sweetheart, that's what we call prostitutes." Okay, you might want to understand some of these things, okay? Custom, their mindset, how they think differently. Okay, that's just how it is. And then society, what is the protocol? What are the practices within that society? You're going to be living there, and as a missionary, you need to understand some of this part of the culture. Now, in the American church, when we say we want to use the culture, this isn't what we're talking about. You know what they're talking about when they're talking about the culture? They're talking about what kind of music do they like? Oh, they like rock music? Well, let's give it to them. Okay? Well, that's their culture, brother. It's not right. If it's not right, we're not gonna do it. What movies do they watch? You know, these churches now, they have their summer series will be like, you know, based on the newest movie coming out. Well, there's a better place to get messages. It's called the Bible. Okay? Well, that's what they like, so let's give it to them. But what books are popular? What kind of language are they using? You know, and all the slang and all the nonsense. What's the hot trend? Okay? It's a lot different than what a missionary's doing. Here's one that's going out there. Not sharing the gospel, but just building relationships. You know, hey, we just gotta buddy up with them. Hang out. You know, after all, Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's another one that gets milked. Okay, you know, when Jesus was a friend of sinners, that didn't just mean he hung out at the bar with them. It didn't mean he just went to the movies with them. Okay, it wasn't very long. Now, I understand it. The difference is when you're in a close country and some of the cultures, you have to befriend them. You don't befriend them by going out to some wicked place or doing some nonsense. That's what they're doing. Well, you know, we're going to hang out with them, and I don't even need to share the gospel ever. They'll just see me. Okay, it's nonsense. Look, when Jesus met people, It wasn't very long before he was sharing the gospel with them. He met the woman at the well, and it wasn't long. He's like, sister, go get your husband. You know what? I don't have a husband. You know, you're right. You had five, and the one you're with now, you're living with. I perceive you're a prophet. Yeah, you got that one right. Okay. Or, you know, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to see him. He's like, brother, you need to be born. He didn't say brother, but he said, you need to be born again. Okay. Now, I understand building relationships. I get that. But it's not what they're doing. When we use the culture in most places, it's because we like it. It's just what we want to do, and we want to Christianize it. That's why the church has no effect in our country. Why is our country getting worse and worse and worse? Because Christians like what's going on. They want to be a part of it. They're not opposed to it. So we use the culture. Another word they use is, let's be relevant. How many ever heard that one? By the way, let me see. I got one of the tracks right here. No, it's not in there. It used to be in there. I'm sorry, I was reading it because the gospel is good. I needed to get that. But relevant. Now, I'm not against that word, by the way. Okay, if you define it properly. I believe the Bible is relevant. The difference when a more liberal faction of the church says, we need to be relevant, and the church, like us, would say the Bible's relevant is its definition of term. How do you define that term? Okay, here's the definition we would give. God's word applies to the situations we face in our life today. It's relevant. Oh, that's just an old book. It's about Adam and Eve, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and thou shalt not. No, 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 no. The Bible speaks about all the issues that are going on in our life today. If we get in the Bible, we would be better in our marriages, we'd be better with our children, we would be better in our finances, we would be better employees, all that stuff. Why? It's right there in the book. It's relevant. It speaks to what we're going through today. In other words, the Bible is relevant to where you are at in your life. Now, when the other faction says the Bible is relevant, they're talking about bringing God down to the level that the people are living on today. In other words, we're making the Bible relevant. You don't have to make it relevant, it is. You understand that? We say, listen, here's where the Bible is, and here's what the Bible speaks to on about the situations in your life. Come up to that level. Come up to where God tells us to be. In those situations, we better. But what we're saying over here is, you know, the people like this down here, let's water it down and let's bring it right here. And that's what we're doing with Christianity. And it's not working. Let me give you a couple thoughts here on relevancy on the culture in the church. I think these are in your outline, right? What is culture? I think there's four things underneath this. Culture is really the philosophies, usually corrupt, of our world or society in general. And when I say that, I'm talking about the unsaved. That's what the culture is. The culture is based on, you know, talk about, well, you know, that's of the world. Well, what do we mean of the world? The world is the philosophies and mindset by which the unsaved lived and based their decisions on. That's the world. That's our culture. That's where it all comes from. And that's where we're not going to be. That's what the world is. By the way, everyone has a culture. You look at a skater, these kids on skaters have their own little culture, okay? Usually end up down at the hospital with a cast on, but they have a culture, okay? Workplaces will have a culture. Everybody does. It's based on the philosophies by which they're being run. We're not going to follow the world's culture because it's based on godless, non-biblical philosophy. We're going to stick to what God says. Next, spiritually speaking, and this is big, we understand our culture so we can combat it, not so that the church can embrace it. That's the biggie. Say, well, by the way, you know, if we did some of the things that's in the culture and we brought them into the church, more people would come. That's not what you're looking for. And by the way, I'm all for more people coming. I want more people to be here, but not at the cost of right and wrong. Okay? So spiritually speaking, so, you know, yeah, I think we all understand our culture. You know why? Because we got to say, you know what? That's garbage. It used to be back in the day when something was going on, people came to church to find out what God said about what God would say about what's going on. Now it's like, what does the world say? Well, we don't want to be offensive. Next, the way you reach people is the way you keep them. You reach people with nonsense methods, praise band, all the nonsense. You're going to keep them that way. We're not going to go there. Then the next little thing in your sheet there. If churches are not relevant today, it is not because we don't embrace our culture, but because we are no different than it. That's the issue. By the way, if the church is more relevant because we do what the culture says and we have more people coming, why are more freedoms taken away from Christians? Because they know Christians don't have the guts to stand up. You better look around. Our freedoms are being taken away left and right. If you're a Christian, they'll get on you. But if you say you're a Muslim, they won't say a word. If you're a Christian, you say something, you're down. But if you're homosexual, they won't say a word. Just read somewhere back east, Massachusetts, one of those lame states that's a lot like ours that allows homosexual marriage. Three ladies got married. They said, that's the relationship we want. Now, let's just for sake of argument say they're allowing homosexual marriage, which is between two people. But because it's a homosexual thing, they won't stand up and say anything to them. Now, if that was a guy and two girls or two girls and a guy, it was polygamy. They would prosecute it. But because it's a homosexual, they won't say anything. The church doesn't say anything. We don't say anything anymore. We're afraid to stand up for what is right. And so it's like, fine. We'll take it away from you. Oh, but look, more people are coming to the Lord. Are they really? Because they're no different than the world. Our church is going to follow the Bible. That's what we want to do. There are certain things we will not do to reach people. We're not going to change our music to reach people. By the way, the purpose of music is not to reach people. Okay, look at all these. You can study all, and we went through it before, but all these CCS, who are their heroes? Their heroes are all the unsaved. They have about as much spirituality as a kick in the head. Okay, it's a money thing. And it's ruining the church. Oh, but we got big crowds. But do they really love God? Okay, because you have to have them, and then we call it worship. Give me a break. That's not worship. Worship is ascribing worth to God. Okay. And people dress like that, anyhow, summer's coming, we'll deal with that later. We're not going to do it with music. We're not going to do it by lowering our standards. Now, we don't just raise our standards to some ridiculous level just to say, hey, look at how fundamental we are. That's retarded. Oh, I said it again. That's ill-advised. Okay? You know, and by the way, a new person walks in the door, like, hey, brother, what's that? Stop. You are not the spiritual police. Okay? Seriously, when a new person comes in, we're not... What kind of Bible is that? That's garbage. Stop it. Just calm down. Let them grow. Let God work on their heart. Let's love them. But I'm just saying, for us, we're not going to just say, well, let's just water everything down. We're not gonna ignore truth. You know, our church, we just focus on love. Just love. Like, if you get up and say, the Bible says this is wrong. Whoa, brother! It's unloving, man. Judge not. I'm not judging. The Bible said it. And we're not going to come to your house and check. Yeah, come on. It's just, the Bible seeks for balance. Just like I wouldn't be for the other direction. Every time you come in, you got to beat people over the head with a Bible hammer. Okay? We don't do that either. I'm just saying, let's not be afraid to say something if the Bible says it. Okay, if you love your children, there's things you say, hey, you can't do that. Dad, you're unloving. I'm not unloving. That's not good for you. Okay? We're not going to do it by shying away from what, I love this term, confrontational evangelism. You know, like we're jumping people and sticking tracks in their mouth. Like, hey, here comes one now. You get them high, I'll get them low. Confrontational evangelism, that means just sharing the truth. You know what? By the way, if there's a hell, we ought to. It's confronting them lovingly with the truth of their condition. I'm glad before I got saved, several times before I got saved, people at a bus stop one time, over in front of another church another time, they lovingly confronted me with my spiritual condition. That's how God led me through his Spirit's conviction to get me to want to be saved. We're not going to cancel evening services. Well, people don't like coming to evening church. Yes, they do. I heard Brother Treber say this one time that years ago, they said a study, when a church will drop their Sunday evening service, their offerings go up. I'm thinking, just kidding. Even if that's true, so what? Okay? Not a big deal. Here's the biggest, by changing our doctrine. This is what has crept into the church today. Okay? See, when liberalism swept into the church, we all believe the fundamentals of the faith. And then a group of guys got together and thought, you know, what's keeping people from the gospel is our standards, the negative parts of the Bible. And so if we would avoid the negative parts and just focus on you know, more on the love of God and the gospel, more people will come to Christ. They won't be put off by our standards. That's how liberalism crept into church. But now the emergent church has taken it to the next step. Progression. Now they said, you know, our doctrine could keep some people from church and from the gospel, so let's ignore some of the doctrine. If you don't have the doctrine of the teachings of the Bible, what do you have? Well, one guy came out, and I think I mentioned this before. He's like, listen, is the virgin birth a big deal? If we found out that, let's just say, they found a tomb and we found out that Jesus had a father. And let's just say his name was Larry. If we found out that Jesus had a father, this ill-advised individual said, would that really make a difference in what we believe? And his conclusion was no. Well, I have a suggestion for him. He might want to read a Bible. That has huge implications. First and foremost, if Jesus has an earthly father, the Bible's not true. It's a lie. Secondly, Jesus is a sinner because the sin nature is passed from the father. Therefore, he's a sinner. He cannot die for our sin. We're all unsaved. So yes, Mr. Liberal, it is a big deal. Okay? And this guy, same guy came out, wrote a book that basically said, in the end, love is all that matters, and there really is no hell. Now, if we don't believe the truths of the Bible, what do we have to share with people as a church? Here's what happens. If we take away everything the Bible says, and all we're doing is just doing what we can to get people at church, we are nothing more than a social club. What do we have to give? Nothing. We have nothing to give. We might as well just go to, the Elks Lodge. I went to the Elks Lodge with Pastor years ago. We were trying to rent another room for Sunday school. We went down there. By the way, you know, on their board, we entered into the Elks Lodge. He was talking to leaders. I was looking around. They had a board there. The following members are behind on their contributions, and they had their names on there. Like, a good night. You couldn't do that in church. Good idea, but maybe... won't really do that. What has happened in our church? Because we've changed our doctrine, because we've changed our belief, all the kids that, you know what? Oh, you say, well, you get parents into a church, and maybe some of them are getting saved, that's fine. But you know what happens? Their kids are leaving the church in groves. Over 90, it's the Christian statistics tell us over 90% of children in a Christian church, when they get out of high school, they leave the church. You know why? Because they see the hypocrisy. They see that there's nothing there. By the way, you come on. If you listen to your CCM music, the unsaved people do it better. I'll just be honest with you. And it's like, They look just the same. They act just the same. By the way, they're just as immoral. And now homosexuality's creeping into the, it's garbage. And they're like, you guys can have that. I'm out of here. If I'm going to live like the world, it's easier to live like the world in the world than it is in church. Let's just go out there because they do it better. This stuff is important, by the way. Our stance on marriage, traditional marriage and gay marriage is changing in the church. Why? They're afraid of being called hate mongers. We don't hate anybody. To get up and say marriage is between a man and a woman is not hate. To say that two men shouldn't get married is not hate. Do I hate those two men that are getting married? No, I don't. But on the other hand, I'm not going to stand up just because I don't hate them and say nothing. It's wrong. We're not attacking them. No one's getting beat up. No one's being threatened. No houses are being burned down. They're just trying to shut us up. By the way, it's been effective. And even in Christian circles now, hey, divorce and remarriage, fine. I know pastors. They get divorced, stay in their church, and then get remarried. Church has no problem with it. Why? We've redefined right and wrong. Why is it important what a church believes? Well, let me give you a couple things and we're done because we're 5 minutes late. It's his church, not ours. That's the bottom line. It's his church, not ours. It must be built his way. He has a blueprint to follow, and we follow his blueprint. Having a crowd doesn't mean you're helping people. You can get a lot of people. I used to go to rock concerts, man. They had big crowds there. They didn't help anybody. And I don't mean last week, all right? It's like a month ago. The goal is pleasing God. Remember Ephesians? He presented to himself a holy church without blemish. We're not trying to be weird. We're not telling you to check your brain at the door and be a weirdo. We're not saying that. We're just saying the Bible says some things and we got to follow it. There is truth and there is right. And you don't look at what's going outside the walls of this church and say, well, you know, that's what people, people aren't going to listen and just, we better change. No, we better do what's right. Let's not be offensive. Let's be loving. Let's go overboard in all those areas. Let's not be knuckleheads and say things to, I'm sorry, let's not be ill-advised and say things to people when they're not ready. We talked about that Sunday night. And we can please God. You know, I believe that you can still please God and reach people. I believe there are people out there that are looking for something different than what they have in their life. Years ago, probably 25 years ago, I watched something on, I think it was 2020 or one of those shows, and they went to one of these newer type churches, you know, seeker friendly and all this stuff and plays instead of preaching. And it was Peter Jennings. And I saw it, and Peter Jennings went to the church, and afterwards, he talked to the pastor. And this was all interview. He goes, you know what? I didn't even feel like I went to church today. And the pastor said, that's what we're looking for. My question is, then I just stay home and watch football, drink coffee, read the newspaper. It's cheaper. Newspaper's what, $1.50? It's much cheaper than the tithe. Coffee, make it yourself, 50 cents. Why go? Because we want something different, don't you? I want something different, don't you? I don't want to come to church and say, oh my soul, it's the same in here as it is out there. Where's our hope? Hope's in the church. A church that follows Scripture. Save your paper. We'll use it next time, okay? Let's pray.